Always a good day to welcome in our friend Gary Tangway from WEEI in Boston. Hello there, Mr. Tangway.
Richie, how you doing? I remember reading those Done It Has Done It Again ads 30 years ago.
Hey, you got something that works, you stick with it, right?
Absolutely. Done It Has Done It Again. My God, one of the best slogans ever.
You better believe it. Well, how have you been? I said, good to hear you with Gresh the other day on the radio.
Yeah, that was old home week. We kind of got off the rails a little bit and just started telling old war stories, and mostly during commercial. And so hopefully it was, I'm sure you enjoyed it. He says his best, by the way. I said, I'm going on with Kimball, and he said, okay. Say hello to the dean of Bangor Maine Broadcasting. But, yeah, Gresh is something else, man. We go way, way, way back. So the producer, like, handed me a rundown. I go, I don't need this. He's like, here's the schedule. I go, yeah, it's fine. Save the paper. We're fine.
We'll talk sports, but I have to ask you about this. I had no idea. Now, you worked with Felicia Knight back in the day, right?
I did, yes.
So I'm watching, going through Facebook the other day, and she posted something about watching the final season of Bosch, and Titus Welliver weighed in on it. I thought, well, that's pretty cool, and I sent her a message and said, well, good for you. You know Titus Welliver. I did not know this. He apparently at least spent part of his youth in Lincolnville and went to Camden Hills High School.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I'm a huge Bosch fan. As a matter of fact, I'm watching episode 8 of season 7 right now. I just hit pause, and I've been hooked on the show. And yeah, I saw one of the interviews, he is because his father was the painter.
Right.
I think they had a summer place in Maine. And yeah, he went to high school in Maine. He's spoken about it too. Even though I guess he's originally from Philadelphia, he said on one of the late night talk shows that he considered himself a New Englander. But yeah, I've been a big fan of his from Deadwood to Lost. Mm. Did Felicia know him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess she was very good friends with his older brother. And
cool.
They used to hang out at the Welliver house.
Yeah, he's great. I'm a huge fan.
And that show, one of the great things about that show is it's a gathering of just this incredible talent of people whose names you may not know, but character actors that can just nail anything.
The guys I love are Crate and Barrel, the older guys.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was just watching the scene where I think where Barrel says, "Well, yeah, maybe that was my fourth wife," and then you know. Craig says, you were only married 3 times. But I agree with you. It's really authentic. It's true to life. You know, I think with every drama, there's always going to be things that are over the top. But they look like real cops. They look like real people.
Yeah.
They're like SWAT, where everybody is a beach model. They look like real people with real stories. I think it's a great show.
When do we get to see you on screen again soon, I hope?
Well, Don't Look Up is coming out, I guess, this fall.
Excellent.
And it was supposed to be in 2022, but I think they expedited it because, you know, there's been a lot of hype around it. And, well, as they say in the business, Rich, I'm exploring my options, which means I've been auditioning my ass off and not getting any parts. But... I've been having fun auditioning, so, and doing the radio, so we'll see what happens. Hey, Richie, I auditioned for a Loan Shark.
Oh, man.
The other day.
That's fantastic.
And one of my good friends, Mike Walsh, who's an actor, he said, Tangy, I love you. I just don't believe you as a Loan Shark. He was like, you know, a good cop, maybe, you know, somebody, you know, a father. Something like that, but he said a Loan Shark, and I grew my beard out, messed up my hair, tried to put on the angry voice, and he just said to me, he goes, nice try, kid, but anyway, so that's what I'm doing.
Now, I've only done the theatrical auditions, and sometimes you'll have to come in with something prepared, and then maybe they'll have you do sides from the actual script. How does it work in film or TV auditions?
No, they send you the sides, and the way it worked pre-pandemic is I would go into the casting office in Boston and they would email you the scripts 2 or 3 days ahead of time. And I always memorize them. You know, I want them down. I want them down.
Sure.
But sometimes in, you know, it's a small part. Like I always tell the story. It was a movie with Mel Gibson that was shot here a while ago. And it was like one line. And the one line was State Trooper number 2. And state trooper number two opens up the trunk, and he finds guns. And the line is, "Guns! We got guns!" It's like, so I don't know how you prepare for that other than to just say, "Guns! We got guns!" I didn't get it. But then there are some you get that are a couple of pages that you really want to get down, you know, that you really want to try to get in the moment and do it. So, and you just go down, you sit at the end of the bench, and there's 50 guys ahead of you that look like you, and do the best you can.
What's my motivation? Am I happy that I found guns? Am I disturbed that there are guns? Do I know what a gun is?
Yeah, and if you say that to the director goes, "Idiot, just say you found the gun."
We're talking with Gary Tanguay here on Downtown. Man, these Red Sox, I don't know if they're going to be there at the end. But, boy, they've been a hell of a lot of fun to watch through the first half of the year.
Well, they are. When you get to the playoffs, who knows, right? But what I think is great about this team, the bullpen's great. So I do worry about the bullpen getting taxed, right? I mean, are they going to get burned out? The starting rotation, other than Garrett Richards, who's a basket case right now, the poor guy doesn't know which end's up. He comes clean and he says, "I can't be legitimate. I haven't pitched legally for my entire career, and now you want me to do it now?" And I'm like dying. I'm like laughing. Because you know as well as I do, Rich, people have been junking up the baseball when Abner Doubleday was like a baby. So it's kind of true. You know, the spider tack and all that stuff, that's taking it to a new level. But people have been using like Vaseline and sunscreen lotion and all that stuff. And now you got to quit cold turkey. What I'm surprised at is the Red Sox have survived it. You know, the ERA of the starters, that's up. I get that. But this team doesn't quit. I mean, they're what, 3 up on Tampa in the first place? Now they get guys that are hitting the ball. You know, Renfro's hitting the ball. J.D. Martinez has been great. Hernandez made a great catch in the outfield the other day.
Oh, yeah.
So likable. Very, very reminiscent of 2013, except some of those guys on that 2013, we knew. Like, you knew who Napoli was. You knew who Shane Victorino was. When they signed these guys, I had no idea. Who is this? I mean, it's Bogarts and J.D. Martinez and a bunch of scrubs. Well, yeah. Devers, too, I'm sure. But they're fun, though, Rich. I mean, and, you know, now what I say about this team, I said this to Rob Bradford the other day. I like to watch the NBA. So if I'm watching the NBA game and it's Phoenix or it's Atlanta, you know, I'm flipping over to the Sox. And if they're down 2-3 runs in the sixth inning, I'm still flipping back.
Yeah.
You know, they're great. They're a lot of fun. They're a ton of fun.
And as much as I was skeptical about it, to me, core is the big difference.
Well, how could you not be skeptical? You know, Shaughnessy had a great piece in the Globe where he talked to Chaim Bloom, and he said, he gave him like, "You can just tell me you told me so." But how could you not be? I mean, come on. I mean, this rotation, we were like, Eovaldi was the only guy, and he had, what, pitched well for 2 weeks and during the World Series. He had never been healthy. Now he's pitching great. Sales could be back in a couple of weeks. So anybody who said they knew this was going to happen is just lying. Not a chance.
Did the Celtics get the right man for their job?
Well, sometimes you don't get what you want, you get what you need, right? Phillips really wanted to go to Portland, and I think he wants to coach Damian Lillard, and I would want to coach Damian Lillard. Now, I think Phillips may be able to keep Lillard from shooting his way out of town. I would love to see the Celtics try to make a deal for Lillard with Jaylen Brown and, you know, Pritchard. You could do that. I don't know. If I'm Portland, I'm not going to do that. From what I understand, this, Udoka's a great coach, and he certainly has paid his dues. But I think the fans have to get used to the fact that the banners don't mean anything anymore. And Phillips even played here. You know, he chose Portland over Boston.
Mm.
He wanted to go to Portland. He could have come to Boston. He wanted to go to Portland. I don't know if it has anything to do with the city. I'm not getting into that because I'm not smart enough to know. But he probably said, "I'd rather coach Damian Lillard than, you know, Tatum." So the Celtics have to have a mentality of, with the little engine that could. And this guy, Udoka, who is a journeyman in the NBA, he may have to go, and he has to go to Brown, he has to go to Tatum, and goes, "Look, you two got to get on the same page, because, Richie, they are not on the same page. And we've got to have a chip on our shoulder that no one thinks we're as good as we think we are." I mean, right now, what the Celtics, you would say, are what, maybe the fifth or sixth best team? Atlanta's better than they are. Miami's better than they are. And, you know, Brooklyn's going to be better than they are. Milwaukee's going to be better than they are. I mean, It, it's before I was thinking the Celts could be the fourth best team. They're not. So they have to have an us against the world mentality. And I think that this coach can do it.
You think Marcus Smart is around next year?
You know, I would trade him in a heartbeat, but boy, Brad Stevens likes him. Brad likes him some Marcus Smart. It's interesting. He didn't hesitate to get rid of Kemba, and he was able to get Al Horford to come back, change the scenery, I guess. But I never knew Kemba to be divisive off the floor, which I think it just didn't work out chemistry-wise, but on the floor he certainly was. Ball dominant, didn't distribute the basketball. I think you can get Marcus to buy into playing the role of the distributor. It's just that you have to accept the fact that he's probably going to take three stupid three-point shots a game. You know, it's like, but I think if you say to Marcus, you need to take ownership of the point guard role, and this is what I need you to do. You need to be the leader out there. I think it can work. If it doesn't, and if he thinks that he needs to shoot as much as Tatum and Brown, then you have to trade him. I would trade Marcus. I think Marcus overestimates his offensive capability. But now with Kemba gone, I don't think they're going to do that.
Is this a long-term gig for Brad Stevens?
That's a great question, because I've talked to a couple of guys, like, you know, I've talked to a lot of the beat guys like Goodman and Mannix, and they know, because those guys like Goodman, especially Jeff Goodman, they know the college game and the pro game, right? Because that's what you have to think. Like, is Brad ever going to go back to college? And from what I gather, he's not going back to college. He doesn't want to go through the recruiting. He likes the NBA. So, you know, you're wondering if in a couple of years he goes and coaches another NBA team. And I've heard that theory. But what if he's successful here? You know, what if he becomes a good GM? I personally would have gone with Ryan McDonough, who built the Suns, Will's son, or I would have tried to get Presti out of Oklahoma City. Wick decided to stay with Brad. He owed him $24 million. I hope the Celtics didn't take the cheap route, because the team was bought for, what, hundreds of millions of dollars, and now it's worth $4 billion. So don't tell me that it's a money thing. I would be very disappointed if that's the case. But maybe Brad does a good job being a GM. His type of style of coaching doesn't really work in the NBA. It'll work with kids right out of college because he's a great college coach. Brad's personality doesn't want to become invested with the player emotionally. And he's not a good hard ass. He's a great instructor. He knows the game. But in the NBA, you've got to be a lot more than that. You know, you have to know when to pat a guy in the back, and you have to know when to get in his face. And Brad's not good at that. So I guess I'm answering this long-windedly and saying, I don't know. but, you know, the Kemba deal, I liked it. I was saying, okay, he's one for one. But I wouldn't have made that move initially. But he can't draft any worse than Danny. I mean, you know, Danny did a good job getting Tatum. That's fine. But some of these other guys, you know, Langford and Carson Edwards and Nesmith, I mean, come on. They're all busts. So we'll see. We'll see. If it's not working out, if they're not having any progress in a couple of years, he goes back and coaches somewhere else.
There you go. Gary Tanguy with us on Downtown. Rhetorical question here, but hey, how good a guy is Upton Bell?
He's the best. He's crazy. He's awesome. He's so awesome. He's great. He tail texts me. He calls me, you know, or sends me an email or something on Twitter, or, you know, because Upton and Bob Lobel were, you know, there's Eddie Andelman, you know, Ordway just retired, there's Glenn. These guys are all legends in the business. But when Upton Bell did Calling All Sports with Lobel, I mean, that was comedy. I mean, those two together were hilarious.
Well, he's lined up some guests for us. And last night he had tweeted something about the old CBS correspondent Morton Dean, who I loved. And I posted something about and always enjoying his work through the years. And Upton sends me a message and says, I'll track him down. If you want him on your show, I'll find him for you.
That's great.
Thank you, Upton.
Like that. Upton's great. He's great. You know, he was never one of those guys. You know, in this business, you have friends, but it's very competitive. It's very cutthroat. He was never like that. Never. Whenever I saw him when I was younger, he was always encouraging. He'd always call, you know, whatever you need. Just very supportive of youth, of young people. Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes some of the older guys were not, you know, like, oh, this guy's trying to take my gig. But I love Upton. He's awesome. He's great.
Well, we think pretty highly of you too, Mr. Tangway.
Well, Rich, back at you. How's that? Did you hear the Roundup story on the radio?
No.
Oh, no. I was doing mornings. Happened yesterday, and somehow we got on Ellsworth, Maine.
Oh, my gosh.
And, oh, yeah. And I said, you know, I used to introduce acts at the Roundup with my boy Cooper Friend. Oh, I know. It was with Gresh. I said, Kimball and I used to get out of this place, the Roundup, in Ellsworth. With and they had all the country music acts. We met Reba McEntire.
I remember Reba McEntire because, as I recall, let's see, this is live. I got to clean this up. But I think I gave you a hard time for using language around Reba.
Oh, I swore. Yeah. Yes,
and I said, you know, she's very, she's so religious, Gary. So religious.
And then you said to me, oh, she's religious. So. They invited us on her bus. You and me, you and I were on Reba McEntire's bus, and her drummer kept saying, he liked my sweater because I got it from L.L. Bean, right? And he kept going, that's a great sweater. And then I said something like, you blah, 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 right, or something. And then after I left, because you got that in my head, I said to Reba, I go, God bless you.
Yes, yes, yeah. You gave her a hug and said, God bless you. And I said, oh, yeah, that's great, Gary. Bleep you, but God bless you, Reba.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's going to do it. I said, all right, let's go back inside and keep drinking. But then I told the chainsaw story. Remember the guy that went into the Roundup?
Yes.
He was looking for his wife or something, and he brought the chainsaws in and chainsawed the doors down?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cooper put a sign up, no chainsaws allowed.
Oh, man. God, those were some days back then. Bellamy Brothers? Didn't we get out and do that show, too?
Who?
The Bellamy Brothers?
Oh, Rich, we did them all. We did the Bellamy Brothers, Dick Curlis, Mo Bandy and Joe Stampley.
Yes, yeah.
Stampley, Billy Crash Craddock, Rub It In, Rub It In.
Yeah, oh, God.
We did him, Reba McEntire.
I think a Rick Nelson show, too.
Yeah.
Good times. Fun. Absolutely. Well, Gary, good to catch up with you, as always. My friend, hope you have a great 4th of July. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, Rich. See you later. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Tangway in downtown.